Next week is the annual conference for television programming executives, affectionately known as NATB. We are honored to have Emerson Coleman, the Senior Vice President of Programming at Hearst Television, as our special guest to discuss the current TV landscape, the upcoming conference, and what's hot today and tomorrow. I'm Stacey Shulman, and this is In Tune. Emerson.
Wow, that sounds so formal.
Oh, my gosh.
My goodness. Well, NATB? Most people don't know what NATB even stands for.
Well, why don't you tell us?
People used to say NAPI. I would go there and I'd say, oh, is this the NAPI conference?
So what's it stand for, Emerson?
National Association of Television Program Executives.
That's
what it stands for, but you hear it pronounced NAPD, NATP, NAPI, every possible variation.
That's right. And sometimes people say it three different ways just to make sure they covered it somewhere in there.
That's right.
That's right.
But it's coming up soon.
It is. And it's next week.
Yep.
In fact.
Yep.
So you're on the board of NAPI, is that right?
I'm on the board. I've been on the board of NAPI for 60, 70 years now. I've lost count. It's been so long.
You meant six to seven, not 67.
It's been a long time. It's been a long time. Probably closer to the 60 or 70, but I think since late 90s, early 2000s, something. I've lost count at this point.
How's it changed since you've been on that board?
Oh, it's changed dramatically. I mean, some of the fundamentals are still there, but it's not the size that it was. It doesn't need to be that size today. But at one point, it was, 18,000 or so strong.
In terms of attendees.
In terms of attendees. And it was massive, and it was centered at convention centers rather than where we are today. We have a floor, but there are also many people in suites and in cabanas. Miami is a great location. But at one point, it was actually so massive that it was overwhelming.
Yeah.
I remember my first NATB, and I was so determined to see every possible piece of product that I could see. I walked to almost every single booth, which is nearly impossible.
Did you wear a hole in your shoes?
I probably needed to buy an extra pair of shoes, but I looked at so much content, and I thought that was my job and responsibility, and it is, to find the very best stuff and select the very best material and give it a shot and give it a chance. And I was so proud that I had done that, the very first NATB. And that was in January. Then I started to get the phone calls in April and May from some of the shows saying, well, guess what, we're not going to go forward. Actually, some of the shows didn't bother to call, unfortunately. And then I realized, as a lot of people realize, why you see so much of the same product sometimes, because you go back to the same distributors because you have a better sense of whether those shows are going to advance and kind of make the cut. And it's too bad. It's hard just to get started. It's hard for some shows. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have the best idea and that your show gets across the finish line and launches.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to get the launch. And it's even harder, of course, once you launch to have a successful show.
Well, that's true. And especially now, right, we see so many station groups. There's so much consolidation. When I started in the business, NAPI was huge as well.
So how did you pronounce it?
NATP.
Just making sure.
Yeah,
okay, good.
I did. I think
Thank
I got
you.
It right.
Good, right.
But it was the biggest thing that I could attend during the year, and it was in New Orleans, and it was larger than life. And like you, I tried to see everything I possibly could see.
And it was very transactional at one
yes.
point, because that was where you would really make or break shows, and you would actually come to the show and do a lot of deals. And there were shows that were launched at NATB. There were shows that were extended at NATB. There were shows that were canceled at NATB. And that was sort of the proving ground. It's less transactional today, at least from my vantage point. It's more focused on futures, which is really important and very significant. But you're not necessarily going to NATB to decide what you're going to run next fall at 10 a.m.
So talk to me a little bit more about that, about the future piece of it. What are you looking for when you go to NATB now?
Well, I'm sure it varies for groups, but our group specifically, we are focused on the 2021 and 2022 seasons. You know, as we go to NATPE, our fall 20 is largely done.
Mm-hmm.
We're making decisions about 2021 and beyond. And those decisions really will play out over the course of the next 4 to 8 months. And then the cycle starts again. In September, we are buyers.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens between now and September is really critical for the shows, even those that have extended deals for the 2020 season. Because we're in the zone right now where you are determining where you're going to be for 2021. And the content providers are very much aware of that, and they're positioning themselves. And when we go to NATPE next week, we'll be pitched shows that are launching in 21 and 22.
It's a long cycle, but it comes around quickly, doesn't it?
You know, it does come around quickly. Absolutely.
So talk about the pitching. What's the craziest pitch you ever heard at NATPE?
The craziest pitch?
The craziest pitch.
Oh, I have to clean this up then. Do I get paid for this, Bill? Is there a fee? No? Okay. The craziest pitch. You know, there was a show once upon a time. It won't sound so crazy today. And I believe the first name was Wed at First Sight. And it was introduced at NATPE. This is now. It's probably 15 years ago. And at the time, it sounded unbelievable. Okay, how does this work now? So these two people, they're meeting for the first time. They're going to get married just for the purposes of the show, and then it unfolds from there. You thought, that can't possibly be. Although, how could you take your eyes off of it? I mean, there's sort of a version of that now, but at the time, that seemed unwieldy. However, as I recall, it got a sizable number of clearances. There was high interest in it. It didn't finally go forward. But I think for reasons other than the idea just being so so unusual at the time.
You think it would get picked up today?
You bet.
Yeah. I call it rubbernecking programming.
You bet. You bet. Absolutely.
Well, there's just so much content. There's a lot of content out there, but there's a lot more places for content as well. It seems. I mean, if you forget about the ecosystem of linear television, but with all of the streaming and all the different.
But don't
services,
forget about the ecosystem of linear television.
No, you can't.
Okay, thank you.
That's what I'm saying. Sure. There's a lot of places for people to go with concepts these days.
Which is great for producers. It's also great for talent. It's great for the competition, and I think overall it's better for everybody. We have to figure out the economics of all of this still. But I can't imagine anyone coming up with really inventive, innovative concept today that's not really targeting multiple platforms.
Right, right. But still, what I find interesting is that there are plenty of concepts. If you take it from the advertiser marketing, marketer side, a lot of people are in a rush to say, linear television has had its heyday and things are changing. But yet, there are big stars and big production auspices that still want to make regular local television, syndicated television. Why do you think that is?
I think because it's smart. And because if you get it right, it's like an annuity. And it goes on and on and on, and there's no better business. It's just hard to get it right. And I will say it's not necessarily about the biggest names, although we're happy to see the names that are out there. It's really about having the opportunity to find the right lane to produce the best product that has staying power, that's going to attract a wide audience, hopefully a broad audience, and has the ability to evolve over time so that it's around not for one season or two seasons, but for multiple seasons.
It's really,
that is really difficult.
It is very difficult. And the relationship that is built between audiences and the content that's on linear television day in and day out, in your living room, in your kitchen, is very strong.
Right.
And an amazing environment for marketers to be a part of.
You bet. And to your point, there are more opportunities today, which is really encouraging. Because the truth of the matter is, if you and I sitting here have the world's greatest idea, and Bill, if you have the world's greatest idea too.
Bill is our producer for all of you listening out there.
He's promised me I'm getting paid for this. if we have the world's greatest idea, it is really hard to advance that and get it on. And, you know, you look at the number of people that you need to talk to, which is actually a very small number. In order to go from point A to point B, it is it's really daunting. So it's not a situation where we're necessarily seeing the very best ideas get throughput, but it's encouraging to have more people trying, and now there are more opportunities because there are more places to go. Mm-hmm. Not just three places your show can land. But again, if you're talking about a big stage, big tent kind of show, then you have limited options. So it's actually encouraging to see all of the people taking taking really the chances and risks that they are taking today. You have to applaud CBS for coming out with the Drew Barrymore show, and Deb Maher for Nick Cannon, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really building on the foundation that was laid last year with Kelly Clarkson and Tamron Hall, because they have demonstrated that there is a way to launch these kinds of, you know, I like to call them big stage shows. And they have, you know, they become established, and they open up doors for some other shows as well.
Yeah, I mean, 3 years ago, we had a NatB where we were all wondering what was going on. There really wasn't anything new to talk about. It didn't seem like many of the syndicators were coming out with new shows. And there was a lot of concern about what the marketplace was going to look like going forward. So, but then last year happened, and we got Tamron, and we got Kelly, and we got Mel, and a whole slew of other options. It was almost like Christmas.
Exactly. Know? We went through a long drought. We, as you said, we were walking through the halls of NatB at the Fountain Blue in Miami. Sorry, I got a plug. I get a dollar every time I say
that.
Okay,
I get it.
At the Fountain Blue in Miami Beach, which is 4441 Collins Avenue. I'm just kidding. We were there, and we were looking for product to buy, and there was nothing to purchase. There were no major shows, even though the real estate was there. There were no major shows to acquire, which was really, really odd.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, the following year, there were really no shows to buy for the weekends. Now all that's changed, and it's been a sea change. It's as if there was no middle ground. It was all or nothing. And now the real estate is hard to come by, and there are lots and lots of shows out there. So it's really good to see that. This will be a great NatB, especially for, you know, I guess for traditional buyers and sellers. I think every major studio has a major show, either for this fall or for the following fall.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a while since we've seen that.
Yeah, agreed. So from your board perspective, what's, other than the content that we know we're all going to see, what should we not miss at NatB this year if you're going down there?
I'm not that bored. We're just getting started. From my perspective, you know, what should you not miss? I think there'll be a few surprises, put it that way. I think there'll be a few announcements that haven't come out yet from some of the distributors. I think there'll be plenty of star power.
Mm-hmm.
There was a station summit on Wednesday, and that kicks off with the presentation of the Iris Awards, so the iconic Iris Awards are returning to NatB, and that is a VIP invitation only event, but I can tell you it's already at capacity.
Wow.
And I would say not to be missed, except I think it's hard to get in these days unless you know somebody.
If
anybody
you're out
wants
there
to
listening
go,
and you have a ticket, lucky you.
Contact Stacy Shulman, and she can help you with any tickets that you might need.
Thank you for that.
Sure, you're welcome. Good luck with that. But I can tell you they've got I don't think it's been announced, so I can't get too far ahead of it, unfortunately, since you said from my board perspective. But the people that will be participating at that event, from the MC to the presenters and the recipients, I would tell you that if the event itself is an hour, the photo op afterwards will probably be another hour.
Wow.
Because it'll be a major event. Then later that evening, they have the Tartikoff Awards, which has become a real singular, definitive moment for NADB. So Wednesday might be the day to remember at NADB. Tuesday, I think some people are getting in, you're sort of getting settled, you have lots of meetings, but that's also an eventful day. And Thursday has become catch-up day for a lot of people because there's only so much you can do in the first 2 days,
right.
And you're running around, you know, putting together the rest of the meetings for Thursday. There's plenty of activity on campus, but being in Miami in January, especially if you're coming from the cold Northeast, for example, it's a great place to be, and there's plenty to do there. So it's really been a good fit for the conference, and I think there's a lot of upside there.
I've always judged the success by how many people are still reading the Tuesday Nappy Daily on Wednesday in the gym that morning, because
right.
It's just so hard to keep track and stay up to date on all the changes. It's a great conference.
What are you looking forward to at Nappy?
I have to admit, I just love the scene. I really do. I mean, I got into this business, you know, as a young person coming out of college. And I always used to read all the Crane's Communications. It was called Electronic Media back then. Doesn't exist anymore. But I just was so excited about the industry that when I first got to go to NAPI several years after I started, it was the biggest honor for me. And just walking through the halls, walking into those doors where, you know, there's a big name studio that you've heard about your whole life, or meeting a show producer or, you know, talent, it's still a thrill.
Right.
I still think, you know, I still love being in this business, and I love being around people who love being in this business. So to me, I feel like when I go to NAPI, it's like going home. I'm in my element, and it's still exciting.
It's wonderful to hear. One of the things I appreciate is attending the Brandon Tartikoff Awards because the entire industry seems to be assembled under one roof for one night celebrating the business that we are in. And you've got groups of people that are very competitive. They've spent all year kind of going at it. Not that it's not healthy and reasonably friendly, but they've been going at it, and they're, especially on the sales end, they're very, very good at their jobs. And at this moment, you're listening to the people on stage and their comments about their lives as they are accepting this very prestigious honor. And you're looking around the room, and everyone is just amazed and impressed. And you realize there's sort of peace and harmony in the land. We're all on the same team, and we appreciate the work that has been done, even if it's our competitor that's done it. And it's really kind of a beautiful moment to see. And just for, there's one just quiet moment where you really realize how extraordinary this particular industry is. But there's something about just being introduced to a lot of new projects too. I mean, we know what we expect to see from the major studios, but there's a lot of fresh ideas from people that are just trying to get started or trying to figure out how to navigate their way through the business. They have an idea, how do I get it on? So there's tons and tons of sessions that take place also that are really, really eye-opening and informative, which I would encourage people to participate in. And there's a huge international community present at NADB, and it gives it much more of a global definition. And being in Miami especially, it's really a very lively, vibrant event. So I can't wait to leave cold New York and get down to Miami.
Well, The Fontainebleau Hotel itself is
That's at 441 Collins Avenue. I'm just kidding.
Well, you know, one of the things that makes that special is that you walk up and down the halls and you see all the images of Frank Sinatra and the Rat Pack and all of the stars that have been there. And you do feel like you're in this, you know, almost in like in a time capsule.
It's an iconic space. We take it over. Haven't trashed it yet, so hopefully we'll be going back.
Be sure to come back and check out the second half of my interview with Emerson Coleman, where we'll talk more about NAPI, news programming, and why viewers still trust local TV news more than any other news source. This edition of In Tune was produced by Katz Media Group. Thanks for listening, and remember to support local broadcasters, because anyone can make an impression, but influence is earned.